If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to look at. Now, I know that we're creatures of habit and we do kind of the same thing. And so when we do something different, it throws us off. So I want to prepare you to not be thrown off. Today, the message is split in two. There's two parts to it. One is the teaching part. The other is to share with you a strategy that we're going to implement starting today. So when I finish the teaching part, I'm just going to give a show of hands altar call and pray with you. I know typically when I do that kind of altar call, it's the end, right? Okay? So just prepare yourself that it's not the end at that point. And I've abbreviated the teaching to make it shorter, to make allowance for that time. I didn't want you to check out mentally once that happened, okay? Now, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Anybody ever had surgery before? When you know you're going to have surgery, you have an expectation that that surgeon has been trained to do that surgery, right? You expect they went to a certain amount of schooling, and they probably did some kind of in-residence where they learned under supervision. You're expecting, hopefully, that they had training to do that surgery. Same is true if someone was going to be responsible for installing a gas line to your house. Wouldn't you want to make sure that that person knows what they're doing when they're installing a gas line to your house? I know someone that their boss, something was not right and the house exploded while he was in it. So there's certain actions that we're hoping that this person is trained and they know what they're doing. Or have you ever been to a chiropractor? Okay, so if you've been to a chiropractor, you know that often they'll take your neck and snap your neck around. And if you're aware enough, you might know that if you snack someone's neck around the wrong way, you could die, right? So when you go and lay on that table, you're hoping that that chiropractor also has been trained on how to do that, because we're hoping these aren't entry-level jobs, right? That someone that just didn't show up and say, hey, can I do the surgery today? Well, have you had training? No, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. And anybody remember that commercial? No? You're hoping that gas line guy, you're hoping that chiropractor is not an entry-level job where they had no training to do that. And for good reason. Because we don't want to die. We don't want to explode. We don't want any kind of weird complications in our body because of the surgery. And you know what's interesting? We want training for our physical health. We want people to be trained in order for us to not die. But we are making choices all the time that impact where we stay for all eternity. We make a choice whether or not we want to put our trust in Jesus or not, and there is eternal consequences for that choice. Then we make a choice whether or not we will continue to follow the Lord, and there are eternal consequences for that. Now, wouldn't you think that should be the case that we receive some training about making right choices with that? When there's such huge implications for these choices, we would hope that there's some training for that. And did you know there's training for that? In part, it's called the Word of God. There is training for us. But also, did you know that you are called to be trainers as well? Did you know that? We were called to go out and make disciples. Paul calls us ambassadors for Christ. We are called to be trainers. But how do you know how to do that? Do you know how to train someone how to follow Jesus Christ? Well, we're going to look at how the Bible says to do that today. 1 Corinthians 3, if you look with me, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. So first key thing to make sure we know is we can't make anybody have faith in Christ. We can't make anybody grow. We can't make anybody be strong in their faith apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. We might do the work that God calls us to do, but we need God to be doing the work in our lives and the lives of others. And then he continues, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor, for we are God's fellow workers. So each one is doing a work, and did you notice that the works, the choices we're making in this mission result in rewards eternally. There is an eternal impact for our willingness to participate in this mission. And then, did you notice that it's almost like there's an assembly line, okay? How many of you, you've only had one person that has impacted your faith? Okay, so you've had several people, right? Or a lot of different people. Some that you know personally, maybe some of them you don't even know personally, whether it's an author or a speaker or those kind of things. And so I picture this as an assembly line. When someone comes to know Christ, there was someone, a person at times that was involved in that. And then as someone grows, another person gets involved in this part of their growth and then this part of their growth. And different people are involved in sowing and watering what's happening in that person's life. And no person in that line is more important than the other. Okay, so even if this person was involved in them coming to faith, this person is just as important as that guy is. All right? And we have to know that. So because sometimes we can do this both ways. We can either be insecure and think, well, I don't do the same kind of thing that person does, so I must not be as important. Or we can do this in an arrogant way. You know, I do more than that person. What I did was more important. And that's we're only the vessels. We're only allowing God to do that work through us. And then he says, we are God's fellow workers. God can choose to sovereignly save anybody he wants to. But he chooses to allow us to be a part of what happens. He chooses to let us be fellow workers with him. And it's important to know that. There's nothing, when we're doing this, we're not doing this on our own strength. We're not doing this in our own ability or our own wisdom. We're partnering with the Holy Spirit to do the work that he's called us to do. And we have to know that it's us participating in what he has called us to do. And then he says, you are God's field, God's building. Who? The people are. We're not trying to build an organization. We're trying to build up people. We're trying to see people become what God has called them to be. That is the goal that God has with this mission. According to the grace of God given to me, and again, did you know that you might be a really good person? You might be really strong in your faith, but it's only because of the grace of God in your life. We're not special on our own. It's only because of the grace of God in our lives. And then he continues, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Did you notice that? Like a skilled master builder. Again, go back to the surgeon. If someone's going to do heart surgery or brain surgery on us, we're expecting that guy has skills and that guy has thought this through. And that guy has learned a lot to be able to do this. That chiropractor, before he yanks my neck around, I expect that he has learned some skills to do this. And Paul is saying, when I do this building other people up, because these things have eternal implications, then I shouldn't just go about this casually. I shouldn't just go about this unlearned. I should go about this knowing and learning everything that God has to teach me in his word, everything I can learn in the body of Christ, and do this skillfully. And he laid a foundation. Did you notice the assembly line again? He laid a foundation. Somebody else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And so we don't build. What we're building is not philosophy, okay? Even though it involves thought. What we're building is not an organization. What we're building is we're building upon the work of Jesus Christ. None of this lasts unless we're building upon the work of Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. What day? The day of judgment. Because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is built up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. We have a life mission, and the way we built in people's lives, when we stand at the judgment, that's the work that God's going to measure. How we built upon people's lives and how we laid foundations. And if we've done this right, we receive a reward. Again, we're participating in the work of God. He provides all the power. He provides all the wisdom. He provides all the favor and the anointing. But he lays it at our feet and says, will you use this or not? It's like the parable of the talents. Will you use what I'm putting in you or not. I don't know if you know this, we live in the 21st century. Did you know that? We do not live in the first century. But God's truths are eternal, right? And so the way to salvation is the same in the first century and the 21st century. It's the people that are different, okay? Because in the first century, did you know in the first century, especially in Israel, but throughout the Roman Empire, there were Jews scattered throughout the Roman Empire, and they had synagogues in which they would meet every single week. And they were somewhat similar to our gatherings, but a little different. It involved a lot more social interaction than our gatherings usually have. There was some teaching, but you could just show up and start talking to people. You could just show up and read. In fact, you see that when Jesus and the Apostle Paul would both just, as their custom, they would go into the synagogue and they would start talking to people. But even outside of the Jewish faith, the Gentiles, the Romans, had gathering places. They had the city gates. And it was common almost every night for many people in the village to gather together at those gates just to talk and socialize and interact with each other. And most of the time they knew each other, but sometimes they did not. And it was okay. They were comfortable with a total stranger walking up to them and starting a deep conversation about them. They might not always agree, but they were totally comfortable with that. Now I want you to imagine going up to a total stranger when you're out hanging out at Point State Park, okay? Not that it's wrong, but how comfortable is that person going to be with initiating that conversation? Not very much. Paul and the apostles, they would go to these gatherings, and that's where they would witness. We don't have those gatherings today. Think about it. We don't have too many places where we can just walk in and start having a deep conversation with strangers, and that doesn't seem weird, and there's not resistance to that. And because we have that, we have to think like a skilled master builder. That the first century Christians, they had that avenue. We don't have that avenue, so we have to choose to be intentional to find ways to create those open doors with other people. It's why we're encouraging the door-to-door. It's why it's important to build your own friendships and stuff with people to try to reach out to people. There needs to be more thought and skill and strategy to this today, because people are usually where? Locked up in their homes, right? That's where people are most of the time, is they're in their homes, and if we're going to reach them, we have to find a way, because they're not just going out to the end of your street and hanging out waiting for you to talk to them. And so we have to think this through, okay? We, because of God's work, can play a part. We can have an impact on the faith of other people if we live by these three truths that the Scripture teaches us to live by. The first is this. The goal when we minister to people is the maturity of their faith. The goal isn't just for them to say, yay, Jesus. It's not the goal. The goal isn't just to get them to start coming to church. The goal is for them to become mature in their faith. Luke 6 and Matthew 10, Jesus said this, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. There's supposed to be training, and there's an outcome to that. In Colossians 1, 28, 29, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Why? That we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Do you see that hand-in-hand partnership again? Paul is wrestling and struggling, but he's relying on the empowerment of the Lord. And he's doing it, why? So that people will become mature in their faith. The instructions he gives to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, the reasons why he tells them to do certain ministry is this, that God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. In 2 Timothy 3, the goal is this, for training in righteousness, again, you see that word train, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The goal in ministry is never to just make people friendly. The goal isn't to just get them involved in ministry. The goal is the maturing of the faith of those individuals. You could add Ephesians 4 on top of that. So that's the first truth to live by. I need to remember when I'm ministering to this person, my hope, my goal as I'm working with the Holy Spirit is that they will become what Jesus Christ wants them to be. The second truth is that certain ingredients are required. Have you ever made a meal and you forgot an ingredient? Have you ever made a meal, forgotten ingredient, and it tastes terrible? It tastes great when all the right things are there, but you take one certain thing out, and it, just like oatmeal or cream of wheat, the amount of water in that dish is absolutely imperative, is it not? It can mean the difference between trying to eat cement or eating some kind of like almost throw up kind of thing. So it's okay. You have a little bit more time before lunch to get that image out of your head. But when we do this mission, we need to have certain ingredients. The first is we need Jesus. When he gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28:20, he said, I am with you always. It's absolutely imperative that we're working with the movement of the Lord, movement of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, the reason why we can be his witnesses is because the Holy Spirit has come upon us and empowered us so that we can be his witnesses. The second ingredient that is needed, and again, this is only because of God's sovereign choice to do it this way, is that we need volunteers. We need people to choose to volunteer to do this mission. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 9. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers or the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Do you know what that means? When he says the harvest, he means there are people out there that are willing to follow Christ. There are people out there that are willing to grow in their faith. And you know what God's waiting for? He's waiting for people to step up and be what Jesus called them to be in Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. Not because we're special, but because of what Jesus Christ has placed into our lives. And we have to choose whether or not we're going to volunteer in this. And if we're, again, and I said this time and time again, if we're complaining about the condition of our society and we're not involved in the mission, why should we blame the society? The schools are not anointed and empowered to help people grow in their faith. The news is not. Hollywood is not. That's not even their goal. Who's going to do it? We have to choose to surrender to the mission that Jesus Christ has commanded us to do. And speaking of Matthew 5, again, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all that is in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is the way it works. And we might ask, why do people need to see us first? It has nothing to do with God. It's not him that's limited. It's not him that's wrong. You know what it has to do with? It has to do with our weaknesses. Because we have a hard time because with the Lord, and some of us struggle with our prayer life because of this. Most of the time, we can't see him. Most of the time, we can't hear him audibly. Most of the time, we can't touch him and feel him. And because of that, it feels to some people like there's no God that is there. And he tells us then to go and be the light so that through his work in us, they can physically see and physically hear that there is a God. And we want to make sure that they can see us, not because we want to be glorified, but did you see that? Did you see he said that they may see your good works and then give glory to your Father who is in heaven? And so if we're saying, hey, look at me. In fact, the apostles did that at times, didn't they? They would go up to a person, they would say, look at us. But if the goal is that look at me and then that's all you got, is you're just staying looking at me, we've not landed at the right spot. It's look at me. Why? Look at what Jesus Christ can do in a person's life. Now, look at him. Follow him. But they often can't see him until they see us first. That's why Jesus set it up this way. You are the light of the world. These are the ingredients that are necessary to do this mission effectively. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go, therefore, and make disciples. You know what the church usually does today? Wait for the disciples to come to you. And that's not the commandment Jesus gave us. He said, go out into the highways and the byways, right? He told us to go, be active. In Matthew 4 and in Mark 1, Jesus called his disciples to be fishers of men. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never found myself sitting on a couch and a fish just jumped up on my lap to eat. I've never seen bacon just show itself up into my room for me to eat. Something has to happen on my end. And again, God is sovereign, but for whatever reason, he has chosen to say, listen, I will give you all the power, all the wisdom, all the anointing, all the favor, all the direction, but I'm waiting for you to now walk in it. And we have to be assertive, and we have to be intentional in being disciple makers. We can't just assume it's going to happen. Because I don't know about you, but I've noticed that people don't just automatically become everything Jesus has called them to be. It takes challenging. It takes interaction. It takes demonstration. And again, it's nothing to do with God's limitation. It's everything to do with us as human beings, our limitation. Then the last ingredient is to seek a formal commitment. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, go and make disciples, baptizing them. We did a baptism a couple of weeks ago, and baptism is a public confessional. It's a public declaration. I'm in. I'm committed to this. And we need to seek that. And that's hard in this world because nobody wants to commit to anything today. It's like, well, maybe I'll be there. Maybe. You know, as long as like the wind's not blowing too hard and it's not too hot or too cold out, it's not raining, if it's not snowing, and if my stomach feels great and all that stuff and all of those things, then I'll come. No, discipleship is seeking commitment. I mean, think about how Jesus called disciples. If you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross daily and follow me. He says, if you want to be my disciple, no one could be my disciple, put his hand to the plow and turn and look back and say, well, these other things I got to take care of. Jesus has called a discipleship was a committed one, and we have to seek that. And then the third and last principle we need to live by is that there are certain actions to discipleship. Matthew 28, you know what he told them to teach them? Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Jesus wanted them to cover everything. Now, I want you to think of everything to the Christian faith. Can I cover everything in a 40-minute sermon? Can I cover everything in 48 40-minute sermons during the course of a year? If you think that, you're lacking in your understanding of the Christian faith. There is so much to cover in the Christian faith. And there's times that I have people come and they'll tell me, you need to preach on tithing more. Or you need to preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit more. Or you need to preach on politics. Or you need to preach on the end times. Or you need to preach more on homosexuality and sexual standards and those kind of things. Or you need to preach more on certain aspects of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? If I listened to all of that advice, you know what happened? I would say, good morning, welcome to Bethel Assembly of God. Please be seated. We're not going to have worship today. We're going to do an orientation of the Christian faith. Okay, so for the entire service, we're just going to walk through all the ins and outs of the Christian faith, and that's all we'll do today. And then next week, you know what will happen? The same thing all over again. We can't do that logistically. There's not a way to make that happen. Plus, did you know that most of the people that are here right now have been to this church before? Did you know that? Most of the people week in and week out are people that have been at this church. Do they need the same orientation every week? And you might say, well, if you keep giving it over and over, eventually they'll do it. I've tried. I've tried repeating myself over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. The repeating does not work much. Sometimes a little bit, but not much. And so because of that, we need to find a way to do a discipleship process that is larger than a Sunday morning sermon. It cannot just be a Sunday morning sermon because we have to cover everything. We have to make sure, and you have your outline there, the references and the statements that you can read. We need to make sure we're interpreting things correctly because there's the Christian faith that looks like it, and there's the Christian faith that's actually the Christian faith. Did you know there's a phony Christian faith? There's a lot of versions of the phony Christian faith. So just because the person looks like a duck and walks like a duck doesn't necessarily mean that they're a duck, okay? Just because I go boom, 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 it does not make me a car, okay? And so we need to know that there's a correct faith. We need to be training, okay? Again, I think we think that all I do is I say, yay, Jesus, and there's no more work involved. Now, I'm not talking about work towards your salvation. I'm talking about doing the works that God has created us for. You can see that in Ephesians 2. God created you for good works, and we need training for that. In 2 Timothy 2, it says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone. Is there anybody this past week that you've been unkind to? Kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. We need to know how to be selective and kind when we're talking with people. We don't need to address all their issues in every conversation. I don't need to address all your issues in every sermon. We need to be selective because there's a time to push and there's a time to say, you know, I'm going to let that one go for now. And we need to know how to be selective. And no matter what, we need to always be kind. Well, but Jesus reamed out the Pharisees and John the Baptist reamed out different people. Yes, but there was a context to why they reamed them out. We don't always see that. And plus the instructions, you don't see in the epistles saying, go and ream people out. Jesus didn't say, go and just harass people and be hard on people. No, he just said, go and make disciples. 2 Timothy 4:2, and I repeat this phrase to myself constantly. Timothy is told to preach with this, listen, with complete patience. Do you know why he was telling them to be patient? Because people move slowly. It takes a long time for people to grow. It takes a long time for people to walk in it. Years sometimes. And we have to know to expect this to move slowly. If we don't, then we'll get frustrated and we'll want to give up because we want instant, immediate results. And listen, life transformation usually doesn't just happen overnight. It takes a lengthy work of God's grace in their lives. But even though we expect process or progress, we should not give people excuses, however. In fact, in Matthew 5, Jesus says, anyone who relaxes the least of these commandments will be judged. So I might be able to say, if someone's being lax in their devotional life, I might not say anything, but I certainly don't want to say, that's okay, you don't need to read your Bible. That's okay, you don't need to spend time praying. That's okay, you can continue living in that sin. That's okay, you don't need to be involved in the body of Christ. I don't want to say that. So again, I might be patient, but I don't want to give people excuses. And I've at times overheard some of you give people excuses. And don't worry, I forget who it was, I just heard it, you know, so I'm not going to chase you down or anything. But don't give people an out in this. You know, don't give people an out to be immature and weak in their faith. But you don't have to point out every fault either. Okay, so there's a balance to it. We're called to challenge, and we see that in 2 Timothy again. But we need to expect rejection. I've been told no so many times. So many times. And it's okay. Jesus was told so many times. It's okay. We have to accept that and realize that's a part of this, but we keep going. We keep going, even if it gets difficult. Would you mind closing your eyes and bowing your heads with me for a moment? Heads bowed and eyes closed. This mission, it's serious, very serious. People's eternal destination may very well be waiting for you to choose to let the light of Christ be displayed in your life towards somebody else. And it's scary for some of us, confusing for others. And there are reasons why we struggle to embrace this mission. Or maybe we've embraced it, but we're still kind of struggling with it. And if you're here this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed, and you'd like to say, I want to fully commit to this mission, even if it's not specifically the program we're doing, I want to commit to this mission, but I'm struggling with different parts of it, and I need the Lord to do it work in my life. If that's you, I want to pray with you for a moment. Just lift your hand and say, that's me. Good. Anybody else? Good. I see a few hands. Anybody else? Good. I want to commit to this. Good. But I'm just struggling with different parts of it. Anybody else? So Lord Jesus, you see these hands. And we know that we're called to respond to you. But we also know that we're called to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're asking right now, please help us. Please fill us with the Holy Spirit. Please empower us. Please anoint us. Please give us any giftings that we need, Lord. Help us to know how to communicate this well to others. Give us favor with people. Give us direction and guidance. Help us, Lord, to live in a way that is light, Lord. Help us to do that. And we ask that you would give us fruit from that. You said, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Because the harvest is ready. So help us, Lord, to go out and do that, hoping for God to turn hearts to Christ, but at the same time willing to be obedient to your call no matter what outcomes may be. And we ask for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So I told you this is a two-part message today. This next part is only going to take 2 hours to do. I'm just kidding. Thank you. Good. I got a laugh there. I had mentioned that we have a discipleship strategy that we're going to start to implement today, and I'm going to share with you what that strategy is. And basically, it starts with a mapping system. Have you ever gone to a mall or to Kennywood, and there was a map that said, you are here? Have you ever seen those? We thought about doing that, but it just didn't work out that way. But this is that kind of concept, because there's only one way to Christ. But each one of us are in, only one way to salvation is through Christ, but each one of us are in different stages of our journey, right? Each one of us are in different spaces, and there's different things that need to happen next for us. Not all of us have the same. That's why sometimes it's really hard to preach a message, because I know that each one of you are in different places in your walk with the Lord, and each one of you need to hear a different specific thing. That's why I hope that you're studying and reading the Bible and seeking the Lord on your own as well. But because of that, and just like I had mentioned, it's hard to cover everything in a Sunday morning sermon. And so you know what? We're going to try to cover everything in a different way. And the way is by creating a map. So John had put our, we have two display cases. They're identical. One's in the back now. The other one is going to be by the steps when you go out. And it's a mapping system. It's if you want to grow in your faith, it's saying, okay, go this direction next. Go this direction next, and it's given us guidance on how we can receive the different ministries that the church is trying to provide to help you grow in your faith. Now, I want to say, though, that it's not built on works. It's built on we're trusting that Jesus Christ is going to be working as we do these ministries. So the printed materials, that's not the Holy Spirit, okay? The rack is not the Holy Spirit. It's not Jesus. So we're trusting that the Holy Spirit will do a work in us. But it's also being built by, that's not going to make anything happen on its own. You know, just putting a rack back there. Just like you putting a bumper sticker on your car that says Jesus is Lord doesn't make you have faith. It doesn't make you grow. It involves other things. Not that that's bad, but it's more than just the printed stuff. And so what supports this mapping system is we have our one-to-one team. The one-to-one team is prepared, and it's being continually developed, but is prepared to provide one-on-one mentorship to people who would like to receive some mentorship to grow in a specific area or to grow in general in their faith. But we also have certain video series that are set up on our YouTube channel to allow people to learn as like a self-study. We're working on different print materials and things like that. Working on a list of referrals to point people to, because it doesn't have to be something we've created. We could point you to other resources for training in your faith, and as well as workshops. My goal is to provide a growth workshop once a quarter. For example, probably the first one we'll do is how to develop a healthy prayer life. And we'll probably do that sometime this fall, do a workshop like a Saturday morning where we'll just spend a couple hours with each other on how do I develop a healthy prayer life. Because again, I can't do all these things on Sunday morning. So we're trying to create a space for all of these things to be provided. These things are still in development, so I don't have all of the videos to teach on everything yet, but they're in development. And what we'll do is people use these brochures, which I'll explain in a moment. When people pick up this brochure and they express that they want to grow in this area and we don't have stuff ready yet, guess what we're starting to prepare right away? That spot. So you guys will kind of guide us on what part we need to prepare next as we go on this journey. Okay? So there's four brochures back there. Did you know people like choices? Did you know that? People don't like to be told what to do, which is why, again, it's a pain to be a pastor sometimes. I'm supposed to tell you what to do. It's sort of. But they like choices, and so instead of saying you have to do it exactly this way, we've provided options. So that rack that's back there and the one in the foyer area, it says next steps. So the question is, what is my next step in my growth in my faith? And there's four brochures, and so you can prayerfully consider what general area is my next step in my faith. Do I need to develop my faith? Do I need to grow as a follower of Christ? Do I need to develop my ministry? Did you know you have a ministry? Every one of us, if we're following Christ, have been given gifts by God to serve the body of Christ. And so we have a ministry. So how do I do that? Or do I need to learn how to embrace the mission, which is what we've been talking about the last few weeks? Or how do I get connected? Did you know we take for granted that you guys know the stuff that's happening around here? But when someone comes in new, they don't know everything that's happening behind the scenes. And so we want to make sure that they know those things. Because again, I'm not going to stand up every Sunday morning and explain every single thing that's behind the scenes. And so we're trying to create something that's available to make sure that there's answers to all of those questions. So these are the four brochures that are back there. And if you were to take one, so Develop My Faith. Well, first of all, each brochure has some things that are consistent across each brochure. So on the back of them has a in the know, and it shares some of the more common main things, like that our services are streamed on Facebook and YouTube, how to get information about the activities and the events that happen in the church, which is, did you know that there's a sheet in the back table that lists all the events for the year back there? Okay, some of you do and some of you don't. So this makes sure people know where to go to get that. It's on the website as well. It tells them about the text alerts that are available, as well as online giving, the address and the service times, as well as, do you know what these guys are? Anybody know what those are? QR codes, yes. If you take your phone and put it on the camera and you scan this, it'll take you to a website or to a link. This takes them to our different social media platforms, as well as this takes you to manually sign up for the text alerts. This is for giving. So all of that information is on each brochure. On the inside, you'll see a section that explains our church's vision and mission. This is on each brochure. Do you know what our vision and mission is? Okay, good. So then that's why that's on there, so people know what that is. So that's something that's same from each one. On the inside, there is choose a next step. So I've already taken one. What do I do after I've grown in that area? And this kind of gives them a guide and instructions on either take another step in this area or move on to another area, okay? So that's what's the same in each one. On Develop My Faith, this one in particular, so the way this works is you're instructed on how to choose a next step. So there's some suggested areas. Some of them are predominantly focused on spiritual. Some of them are earthly development. But what area do I feel I need to develop in my faith next? And then the next part is choose a method, and it gives them instructions on what do they do to grow in that next step, whether it's their prayer life or their Bible study and things like that. And there's a few different ways that we're going to do that. Like I'd said, one-on-one mentorship is one way. And Cindy's not well today. She was sick, so she couldn't be here. But she's our coordinator for this. And I had her permission to give her cell phone out to everybody. So her cell phone's on these brochures. And so you just call and text her if you're not sure about something, and she will guide you into getting that mentor or any other kind of instruction you need, as well as the workshops I had mentioned and the video series and the self-studies. So there's two QR codes at the bottom of this. And we've actually been working on developing two video series. They're on our YouTube channel. If you either use the QR codes here or you go on the channel, and under playlist, you'll find one titled The Disciple and one is titled Virtual Coach. They're two different series. The Disciple is more on biblical study on the different aspects of the faith, where Virtual Coach is more on practical ways to develop in those different areas. This one already has over 40 videos in it, okay? And all those videos are maybe 5 to 15 minutes long. They're on the shorter end. But they're set in category order. So, for example, growth in prayer, growth in Bible study, Christian fellowship, even things like apologetics. Does anybody know what apologetics is? It's the ability to defend your faith and defend the truth. There's a category on evangelism. There's a bunch of different categories on there on development. So you can just go to the category and watch the videos on that. Virtual Coach is still in development. We just have a few videos that are in there now. There's ones that are on growing in your prayer life. So these are videos that are there available. And again, part of the reason we do that is because some people want to grow in their faith, but they want you to leave them alone. And by you, I mean me and anybody else I've tried to train to go after people. And they just want to do it on their own. And while that's not actually ideal, because the Lord wants us to grow in community, But we also don't want to lose out on the people that just aren't ready for that. And so that's why we provide things like those videos so people can grow privately, and hopefully at some point they'll get to the space where they can grow inside of community. Okay? Any questions on that so far? Okay, because there's going to be a quiz on this at the end. and whoever answers the most questions correctly, you're going to get $50 from Sean. He's going to give that to you. He just found out about that. The second one is develop my ministry. So in here, list the four general areas of ministry that we're focused on that either we have going or we would like to develop, and some specifics in each of those areas. So you can read that over and pray through what is it that would be good for me to be involved in? What would the Lord like me to be involved in? And again, you would contact Cindy to help you get involved in that. Some of them you could just jump right in. Then embrace the mission. Some of you I know have said, I can't go door to door. And I can't do that for different reasons. Well, I have listed in this brochure a handful of different ways that methods we've designed in order to help you share your faith. So there's more than just one method. There's multiple methods in here. So this is to make that available to you. And again, like I said, there's a lot of things people don't know, and we want to make sure that that's available. Because my goal is that someone can come into this church, and if they want to grow in their faith, there's direction for that. I don't want them to wait till we get to that sermon. I don't want them to wait till we get to that class. I want it to all be available immediately, and that's the goal for this mapping system. The other is get more connected. Again, it mentions some of the general ones I had mentioned, text alerts and the events. We're going to actually have a church map provided at the back of the sanctuary. Just because you know where the multipurpose room is or the mission house doesn't mean everybody knows where that is. And some people don't want to ask anybody. Are you like me? When I can't figure out my way around, I don't want to ask anybody to help me find my way around. Anybody like me in that? I don't want to ask for help. I just want to find it on my own. People are like that with a lot of different things. And so a lot of people don't want to ask someone, can you show me where the multipurpose room is? So again, we're just trying to make this as easy as possible for people to get involved in the growth in their faith. Membership and the spiritual strategy course, the prayer ministry. I know you guys know when people come up and stand up here and face you guys, that means you can now come and have someone pray over you. But not everybody knows. Some people will come in new and they're like, what are they doing up there? You know, what's going on? They have no idea. And this is, again, to make sure that everybody's well-informed, because we want everybody to have access to that, right? Someone has a prayer need, we want them to know, hey, this is what they're doing, and this is how I can have access to that. Did you know we have a prayer ministry that prays for different needs throughout the week? And you can just contact someone, and that person can get your prayer request out to other people. Some people don't know that. Water baptism and baby dedication, how can I get that? Children's and youth ministries and other things are listed in there. So here's how this is going to work. This does not mean I'm not going to preach anymore. Okay? I'm still going to preach and teach every week, and it'll be various aspects of the overall faith in Christ. We're still going to have our Wednesday nights, and it's still good for all of us to participate in those things, because again, God wants us to grow in community. We'll still have the spiritual strategy course, but we have this as a safety net to make sure that any way that someone wants to grow in their faith, there's a resource for them, and there's a way for that. And the way you can help us with this is either make sure that you're growing in your faith and just check this stuff out and see if there's a spot that you need to grow in and if something in this can help you. That's the first way. The second is the more you're familiar with this, because I know that most of you guys are exactly the way Jesus wants you to be, and you're good. You don't need any more help, no more development. You're solid, and so you don't need to learn that. It always cracks me up when someone says, I want to be a member. Well, you have to take this class to be a member. And they're like, well, I'm already a strong Christian, so why do I need the class? And I'm thinking, you don't have anything else left to learn? That always amazes me, because I know everything, but not everybody else does. I'm joking again. But be familiar with this program, because what you could do is as you're talking with people and you're ministering to people and you realize, oh, this person's saying they need help in this area, you have a resource that you can go to and point out to them and say, well, how about you come over here and let's check this out. Why don't you read this over? I'll help you get acclimated to if you need. And we have something to point them to. Or you can learn the stuff so that you could teach it to somebody else. Did you know that we're all called to be teachers in general? Not the specific gift, but we're all called to teach other people to make disciples. And some of you don't know how to do it, right? This is a way for you to learn how to do it so you can begin doing that for others. Or you can take, like for example, you can use this with the person you're working with. So you can take the video, send it to the person and say, hey, why don't you watch this video? You were saying you don't know how to interpret the Bible. One of the categories in that disciple playlist is hermeneutics. Does anybody know what hermeneutics is? It's a fancy word for the art of interpreting scripture. And there's a need to learn how to do that. And so if someone's saying, I'm reading the Bible, I don't understand that, send them the videos and say, why don't you watch these videos? And then you and I will get together and we'll talk about them. See what you learn. And then you could teach them through the video. So does that make sense? Any questions on that? Okay, so to the advice that everybody has given me, that if you just teach on this, then people will do it. I'm fully confident that if that is true, every one of you is going to take this program and you're going to make it happen in the lives of other people, right? I'm not feeling confident in that. But we'll wait and see what happens. But again, it's back there. I encourage you to take a look at that. Paul said, I build like a skilled master builder. What we're doing has eternal significance. We ought to take it very seriously that we're doing it the best that we are able to with God's empowerment. Amen? Will you join me in prayer? Lord, you said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so, Lord, we're trying to embark on doing the mission that you've called us to do, both evangelistically and discipleship. And we're just asking, Lord, please empower us to do it. And I ask, Lord, anybody that's struggling with knowing that that is the calling for them as well, I ask that you would make that known to them, that you would make it clear to them, that you would assure them, that you would help them to not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer, that you would embolden us and that you would give us favor. And you told us to pray, Lord, that that laborers would be raised up to go out into the harvest. And so here we are, Lord, saying, send us. Send us out into the harvest. And may people come to know Christ, and may people grow in their faith. We know that that doesn't happen by a program or a strategy or printed materials, but we know that you've called us to build like a skilled master builder. So help us, Lord, to be partners with you, as Paul described in 1 Corinthians 3, to partner with you in the work of the ministry. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. Appreciate you guys. May you have a wonderful week. God bless.